Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining me here on the channel. So the Conservative Party's manifesto came out just about an hour ago. It's actually quite alluring to someone of my mindset, maybe even to some centrists too. I think it's mainly aimed at activating conservative inclined people to vote for the party, not Reform UK, not Stay at Home, not Labour, because there are some conservative inclined people who are so sick of the Conservatives that they will vote Labour, you know, who are floating voters to some extent. Right. And there's somewhat what you'd expect in there. It's obviously in the DNA of the Conservative Party to want to cut taxes. And that's what Penny Mordaunt was saying, one of her few decent lines in that piss poor performance she gave at the deputy leader's debate, even though she's not actually deputy leader. But never mind. So no surprises, really. Too little too late to serve the Conservative campaign might mitigate the scale of the disaster. But up until this time, up to this point, it's really been a clusterfuck for the Conservative Party from the launch to everything else. Now, I mean, it doesn't bother me whether it happens to be raining when he's speaking, but this is about presentation. A lot of people are very superficial. I'm not. I was told one as a toddler, don't judge a book by its cover. And I've really taken that to heart. I don't care much about appearances. Look at me. But I realize other people do. And you think of the visuals, and that doesn't play well. It's simply a gift to people who want to come up with cheap jokes about it raining on his parade. But the substance in this is highly alluring in the manifesto. I think a lot of these are unworkable, and perhaps some of the public will see the unviability of many of these policies. But it does show us direction of travel. One thing for the Conservative Party, for 14 years we have this leftward drift. Conservative Party has often implemented leftist policies. Rishi himself was like a Labour Chancellor. I'm rancorously disillusioned with the Conservative Unionist Party, but this manifesto makes me more likely to vote for it because the Conservatives are bad on many things, but Labour are going to be horrific. So often it's really negative voting on the basis of what you're against rather than what you're for. And the Conservative Party will be the one chance to stop Labour. All right, it's not going to work, but could at least make sure that Labour doesn't have such an overwhelming majority that would reduce the scale of the damage that they can wreak on the body politic. What was actually in there? What was the meat in the sandwich here? Now, getting rid of national insurance for self-employed people, yippee, that'd be wonderful. And trying to reduce it, okay? Some tax cutting by 17 billion by the year 2030. Obviously, I'd like far more, far sooner. I realize there's a danger of trustonomics, things that are completely unrealistic, absolute la-la land, voodoo economics, things that are just not going to work, and not being willing to slash spending as I would. I mean, my hero these days is going to be Javier Milei, partly for his unwavering advocacy of right to life equality, standing up to the fetusophobes and the embryophobes, but also saying, you know, Ministerio de Cultura, afuera, motosierra, motosierra. I would take that chainsaw to so many governmental departments. So shrink the size of the state, you know, know things by half measures. Be bold on this one. He's obviously not going far enough. I realize if you go really far, then you frighten too many centrists. Okay, so cracking down on tax avoidance and reducing welfare payments. I mean, they always say this and usually have very limited success. The Conservatives, a bit difficult to sell being the party of low tax, considering they got to be the highest taxes since 1952. And okay, they've come down a little bit, but they've got tax spending plans right up until, is it 2026 or is it 2028? But anyway, they said they're going to freeze income tax thresholds until 2028 and then review them, reduce them, should the economic situation allow. And the economy is moving in the right position, right direction, but not rapidly, not dramatically. Of course, that could change, could stagnate, could be a recession, because there are all sorts of black swan events. Nobody foresaw COVID. Not many people foresaw the Ukraine war, certainly not ongoing on for so long, and on and on. Okay, so the cuts in national insurance over the last year, I think they were very welcome, but unfortunately that's not won enough people over for the Conservative Party. So they launched it at Silverstone, that racetrack in Northamptonshire. I'm not quite sure why they picked this venue. And obviously only card-carrying members of the Conservative Party and indeed the Fourth Estate were allowed in to cover the fact. But Sunak, he then felt obliged to acknowledge that many people were deeply disaffected from his party. The disgruntlement is palpable, and with him personally. I think it was right to say that, because otherwise Cena's so out of touch. Like, are you out of your mind? Have you no idea why people are so justifiably angry, are so bitterly disappointed with you? Even people who voted for you last time, why have they deserted you in droves? And you've got to take responsibility for the Johnson administration. You've got to acknowledge Sunak did more than anyone else to bring him down. Sunak's resignation in July 2022, that set off the chain reaction of dozens of ministers and junior ministers resigning within 24 hours, which pushed Boris Johnson out the door of 10 Downing Street. So that took a little bit of courage, but obviously they've been plotting going on some weeks there, as well as only a month after Boris won that vote of no confidence of Conservative MPs. Okay, so he's going to keep on cutting taxes, but that'll be over £10 billion of lost revenue by 2030. Obviously, these are only projections. We can only do guesstimates how many people will be working. We don't know. And what levels will they be earning? So it's not entirely predictable. So that would be good news. They said that they've got this aspiration to eventually do away with national insurance. Well, that ain't going to happen. You might not know, but an income tax is an aberration, is a temporary solution. One of those 18th century wars that nobody's ever managed to get rid of. These temporary fixes have a nasty habit of becoming permanent. But even if they never do it, they could at least reduce it. No party fulfills all its election pledges. It's just a question of how many of them you fulfill and then to what extent you fulfill them. But that's why Labour has been ultra cautious, so that they can't be accused of overpromising. The Conservatives are sort of the opposite. They are overpromising. Anyway, so trying to paint Labour as the party of high tax, and that's really all the Conservatives have got left. And remember that how this worked a treat in 1992, didn't want to work in 1997. This is 97 all over again. As I said before, for the Conservative Party, this is going to be an even more horrendous defeat than 1997. 1997 is sort of the ceiling level. If the Conservatives got 31% of the vote and 166 MPs, that would be considered fantastic compared with what the Conservatives are currently forecast to get. So what else? So cutting the welfare bill, tackling tax avoidance does beg the question, you've had 14 years to do it. Why haven't you done it already? Increasing defence spending, definitely the right thing to do. Now, the Conservative Party has been pathetic on defence spending. Labour will be even worse. Is not even pledging to get it to 2.5% by a certain date when the economy allows, which might be never. I mean, but Putin might not give you that chance. And so it goes on. So, some people, the Institute of Fiscal Studies has poured cold hot water on the idea that these non-specified savings could be made without hurting people and so on. So a way to speed up the Help to Buy scheme appeals to sort of the under 50s and so on. I mean, I would target that as people in sort of key workers, like frontline workers, like doctors, nurses, pharmacists, dentists, soldiers, sailors, the RAF, the police, because often in expensive areas, they can't do this. Their military has some sort of scheme already. What else are they going to do? So getting rid of capital gains tax on landlords who sell to the existing tenants, well, that's a good idea. Now, the thing is, some of these policies for England only, some for the whole United Kingdom. More GP surgeries, that's very small. The whole 18-year-olds take from national service, I mean, that's daft. It'd be completely unworkable. 8,000 extra police officers. And one of the few things that the Conservative Party has been successful on is getting more police. Crime's still gone up, though, because the police are mostly on trans and racism courses or policing Facebook. Legislation to introduce, to outlaw smoking. I mean, even gradually outlaw smoking. Horrific, oppressive, just outrageous. An attack on bodily autonomy, an attack on human rights, sick, vile. But so that's the worst thing in the entire manifesto. Sadly, it's going to get through anyway, whoever gets in, because unfortunately, they're all health totalitarians. What do you think? What was the best and worst thing about it? Does this manifesto, does it make you more likely, less likely to vote for the Conservative Party? Maybe you're a total anti-conservative. Is this better or worse than you anticipated from your ideological position? Right. Goodbye, everybody. Thanks for watching. Please subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Toodle pip.